Here's Schofield. Please open your Bibles to the book of Jude. Here's Schofield Reference Bible, page 1328. The book of Jude. We'll be reading the first two verses, and then I'll direct you to a couple of other verses also in the same book. Shall we all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? Let's read together, please, verses 1 and 2. Ready? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Let's go now to verse 24. And let's read that. Ready? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And back up to verse 21. Let's read that verse, please. Ready? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And let's pray. Father, thank you. We have this opportunity to gather. Let's not forget, dear Lord, that we're free to do so. Thank you for our country. Thank you for our church especially, and we thank you for its opportunity to open its doors to America this week. We pray that you'd help us, those with various duties and responsibilities, give them strength and health, and especially help our preacher. We pray for his health and strength, and grant him by power always. Bless especially at this time, this evening service, the preaching. Help us to, with carefulness and purpose, to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me read for you, without your turning to it, a verse that is my text tonight. And here it is, both my text and my title. I read this verse, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the title of my sermon and my text tonight. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So James starts talking about the fact that we are preserved. That means we're kept. That means that we can't get out. That means we're locked in. That means that, he keeps us. And then it ends by saying, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now tucked in between those two giant promises of security and assurance is a little verse that's often misunderstood. It simply says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Let me talk to you about that for a while. Father, I won't be a blessing tonight. That's all I want. I have no desire to do anything except be a blessing. And I pray tonight you'd help us to understand the love of God and what it means to keep ourselves in that love. Speak to our hearts in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. The taken apart from the text, these words are easy to be misunderstood. False doctrine has erupted from this volcano into the lava of a salvation by works. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Our charismatic brethren who know the first thing about salvation would make that into a works salvation, if you please. There are those who say that this means we are to keep God loving us. If we keep lovable, he will love us. If we keep loving, he will love us. If we keep lovely, he will love us. That means that, according to their doctrine, that means we must hold the faucet that dispenses God's love and then hold the cup directly under the faucet if we're to receive or be recipients of the love of God. And that it is available if we turn it on. And it is our job to stay under the spigot of His love. We insert our loveliness into the vending of God's love, and love is dispensed according to this false doctrine. In other words, they teach that we keep ourselves in such a manner, in such a way of life, that God will love us. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that God's faucet of love cannot be turned off, and its spigot follows us everywhere we go and whatever we do. Let me remind you that God so loved the world after He found the world was sinful, and God does not love the world because of the world. God loves the world because of God. Nor did the world deserve His love or seek His love, and yet He loved the world. Let me remind you, my friends, that God committed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me remind you, my friends, that in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Let me remind you, my friends, that tribulation cannot separate us from the love of God. Distress cannot separate us from the love of God. Persecution cannot separate us from the love of God. Famine cannot separate us from the love of God. Nakedness cannot separate us from the love of God. Peril cannot separate us from the love of God. The sword cannot separate us from the love of God. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. Life cannot separate us from the love of God. Angels cannot separate us from the love of God. Principalities cannot separate us from the love of God. Powers cannot separate us from the love of God. Things present cannot separate us from the love of God. Things to come cannot separate us from the love of God. And height cannot separate us from the love of God. And depth cannot separate us from the love of God. No other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God is not saying here that we are to keep ourselves in such a condition that God will love us. God loves us in all conditions, if you please. And His love is not dependent upon our behavior or manner of life. Let me remind you, dear friends, that He loves you when you are lovable, and He also loves you when you are unlovable. Let me remind you, my friends, that God loves you when you are loving. He also loves you when you are unloving. Let me remind you, my friend, that God loves you when you are deserving, but He also loves you when you are undeserving. Let me remind you that God loves you when you are lovely, but He also loves you when you are unlovely. You see, God loves you because He loves. God loves you because He is love. God loves you because He must love. God loves you because He cannot help but love you. God loves you because of who He is and not what you are. Let me remind you also that God loved Jacob when he was in his will and his name was changed to Prince at Jabbok. He also loved Jacob when for 20 years he was backslidden in Paddan Aram. Let me remind you that God loved the prodigal son when he came back to the father and once again worked in the fields and was given the party, the welcome party. But God also loved that prodigal while he was in the hog pen, wasting his father's substance in riotous living. Let me remind you that God loved David when he took the sling and fell the giant. And God loved David when the crown was placed upon him and the anointing oil was placed upon his brow. But God also loved David in the arms of Bathsheba. And God loved David when he was guilty of even killing Uriah. Let me remind you, my friends, that God loved Jonah when he was in Nineveh preaching that great revival. But God also loved Jonah while he was in the belly of the whale outside the will of God. Let me remind you that God loved Peter while he was standing on Pentecost. And God loved Peter when he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he also loved Peter when Peter was cursing and swearing and denying the church, denying the faith, and denying the Lord. That reminds you that God loved Noah when Noah built the ark, but he also loved Noah when he was in a drunken stupor. I remind you, God loved Moses when Moses was leading the Israelites across the Red Sea, but he also loved Moses when he forsook the will of God, smote the rock twice, and lost his ticket to the promised land. And it reminds that God loved Abraham as he left the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city whose builder and ruler was God. He also loved Abraham when he fathered an illegitimate child by the little maid called Hagar. I'm trying to tell you tonight that God loves you. I'm trying to tell you that God loves you no matter where you are, who you are, how you are, what you are. God loves you. And you cannot keep God loving you. And when God says, keep yourself in the love of God, He's not saying, keep yourself lovable. He's saying, I'll give you after a while what He means. That reminds you that God loved Hagar in the home for unwed mothers. God loved Solomon in the midst of his harem. God loved Gomer while she dwelt in the red light district. God loved Jeremiah when he dwelt in the critter circle. God loved John Mark when he scampered home to mommy. God loved Adam when he tasted deadly fruit. God loved Isaac when he fled the will of God for promotion and a pay raise. God loved Aaron when he made the golden calf. And God loved Samson in the arms of Delilah. And God loved Naomi in heathen Moab. And God loved Lot in queer Sodom. And best of all, God loves you and God loves me. So often I say this. If you ask our people, what is the thing, the one statement Brother Hiles has made the most all these years as pastor, almost 40 years behind this same piece of wood, preaching this same King James Bible. What is the one statement I've made the most? And my people will tell you, God loves you. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, the sinner condemned unclean. Wonder how wonderful, how marvelous is his love for me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful love in the Bible, I see. And this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I don't know any better news than that. He loves you tonight. He reaches the Everest of explanation of his love in a little Old Testament book, timidly hiding in the obscurity of the minor prophets. There's a man named Hosea. Hosea married a beautiful woman named Gomer. God blessed their union with a son. After a season, God let a little girl enter into their nest. And then after a while, the second son. Here was Hosea the father, his beautiful wife, Gomer, and three precious little children. But one day, Gomer decided to leave Hosea. She decided to go out in the world. Let me tell you something, young people. The devil's a liar and a crook, and the advertisements of this world are sham hypocrisy. Don't you believe what you hear, and don't you believe the advertisements, and don't you listen to the devil. But Gomer did. I can see Hosea as he came to Gomer and said, "Sweetheart, I beg you don't leave us. We have a happy home. We have three little children. They need their mommy, and I need you as my wife." But Gomer still decided she was going to leave her husband and her three children. I think I see the oldest boy coming and saying, "Mama, don't leave Daddy. Daddy needs you. And don't leave us. We need you, Mama. Don't leave." But Gomer was bent and had her heart set like a flint to leave and the will of God and her home, her husband and her children. I see the third child, a son, come and say, "Mama, don't leave me and my sister and my older brother. And Daddy, Mama, you stay with us." But Gomer wandered in out in the world in the far country. She sold her body for money and became a harlot and a prostitute. Hours became days, and days became weeks, and weeks became months, and months became years, and years became decades. And there is Gomer walking the streets, selling her body for paltry sum of money. And selling her body as a prostitute. The children grow up, go off and get married. Years and years have passed. Those strong shoulders of Hosea are now stooped and drooped. Those locks of dark hair are now white and gray. Those hands that once were sure and steady are now a bit palsied. Those feet that once could run quickly and swiftly now walk slowly. Hosea long since has lived by himself. Every day he prayed for Gomer. No doubt every day he wanted to come back, but never did come back. Years and years have now passed. One day Hosea goes down to the slave market to watch the auction of the slaves. And standing there, maybe on the bima, near the bima, leaning up against the post, maybe somewhere, Hosea watches the slaves being auctioned off. There's a strong young man being auctioned off, and Hosea watches him in curiosity. He's not going to buy one himself. And there's a lovely young lady who's strong of body and has a long future, and she's auctioned off. And one after the other, he hears the bidders, "I'll bid so, I'll bid more, I'll bid more, I'll bid more." And finally, after a season, An old lady walks out on the auction block. Hosea thinks, I imagine he thinks, who wants her? She has no strong body to give. She'll not be able to serve long or hard. Who wants her? She looks familiar. I think I've seen her before. Could it be? Is that Gomer? My wife of my youth? The one who bore my children? Could that be Gomer? It is Gomer. I'll bid! Someone else raises the bid. I'll raise the bid! Someone else raises the bid. I'll raise the bid! Someone else raises the bid. I'll raise the bid! Till finally the auctioneer says, sold to the old man. And Gomer looks out and says, Hosea? Hosea, I can't believe you'd buy me back. I've been a prostitute all these years. Hosea says, Gomer, welcome back home. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, Gomer, come home, come home. And can you see the old couple as they hobble home together? As love is sparked again, and they love like they used to love. I'm telling you, that's what God uses to tell us how much He loves us. I don't care how wasted your life is, how many years you've lived in sin, how wicked you've been, there's a heavenly Father who loves you and wants you back home. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. So get it. His love is unconditional. His love is undeserved. His love is unsolicited. His love is unchanging. His love is immutable. His love is unchangeable. His love is unquenchable. His love is unalterable. His love is irretrievable. His love is invariable. His love is unsinkable. His love is unstainable. His love is unquestionable. His love is unstoppable. His love is incomparable. His love is immeasurable. Do you hear me? He loves you tonight. When I was a kid preacher, I'll be quite frank with you, I used to love to preach on hell. Boy, I love to rake them over the coals. I love to get deacons and hang them over hell. I've changed now. I love to drop them in now. But I used to love to preach on hell. But as a 72-year-old man, 10,000 times I'd preach on heaven than hell tonight. I used to love to preach on the wrath of God and how God is a God of wrath. But now 10,000 times more, I love to preach on the love of God tonight. I know nothing more wonderful from the time that little woman put me on her knee as a little 5-year-old Sunday school boy and told me Jesus loves me until 67 years later. I don't know anything any more wonderful. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Hey, don't just sit there. He loves you tonight. He loves you. He loves you, Hugh Hefner, with your filth. He loves you, O.J. Simpson, with your guilt. He loves you, Dennis Rodman, with your sham. He loves you, Bill Clinton, with your lies. He loves you, Monica Lewinsky, with your filthy lucre being made now off of your lust and sin. He loves you, Ted Kennedy, with your liquor business. He loves you, Madonna, with your degradation. He loves you, Michael Jackson, with your garbage. He loves you, Pope John, with your heresy. He loves you, Michael Jordan, with your gambling, famous hero of some of you folks, a well-known gambler. He loves you, John MacArthur, with your bloodless gospel. He loves you, Arnold Schwarzenegger, with your filthy movies. He loves you, David Letterman, with your shady talk shows. He loves you, Robert Shuter, with your man-pleasing religion. He loves you, Mrs. Clinton and Mrs. Dole, with your disobedience to God's plan for women. He loves you, and He wants you to come to Him. He loves you, teenage girl, carrying an illegitimate baby in your body tonight. He still loves you. He loves you, wayward Christian. You're not marooned from God tonight or His love. He loves you with an unholy skirt and offers forgiveness upon request. He loves you, school expellee, and you cannot be expelled from the love of God. He loves you, fallen one, and His love is deeper than your pit. He loves you, Rahab, and Mary Magdalene's, and prodigals, and Bathsheba's, and Tamar's, and Sychar's harlots. He loves you, and He does not love you because of what you are, but because of what He is. Now then, what meaneth our text? Let me serve you a wonderful little sandwich. This little epistle begins with these words. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserve. The first verse preserves us and keeps us and closes with, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. I preached about that this morning. He's not going to present me as a sinner. He's going to present me faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Praise God, the front door is locked in verse 1. The back door is locked in verse 24. Sealed and bolted from the outside. And I can't get out. Well, you say, well, I'm a Christian. I wish I weren't. Sorry, you should have thought about that before you got on board. Kept. Sealed. Preserved. Well, then what does it mean? Keep yourself in the love of God. Here's what it means. It means keep a good supply of His love available. Like you keep yourself in food. It means you cannot help but receive it, now dispense it. Let me explain. I am a prisoner in His love and cannot escape. I am a hostage in His love, and He will not release me. I am a captive in His love, and cannot be loosed. I am handcuffed to His love, and there is no key. I am chained to His love. His fetters of love hold me. I am an inmate in His love, and cannot flee. If I go to the highest mountain, I cannot escape the love of God. If I dip to the lowest valley, I cannot escape the love of God. He loves me on top. He loves me on the bottom. He loves me when I'm on the mountain. He loves me when I'm in the valley. He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. He loves me when I'm in His will. He loves me outside His will. If I go east, the east changes to west. I cannot escape the love of God. And if I go west, the west is east. I cannot escape the love of God. He loves me, and I can't help it, and you can't. I don't care what you like or not. He loves you. I said He loves you tonight. And then He tells me, I am to dispense that love. I am to distribute that love. I am to administer that love. I am to scatter that love. I am to give that love. I am to dispel that love. I am to spread that love. And He even tells me where I'm supposed to spread it. He says, I'm to love my mate. And you're to love yours. Oh, but how do you know what she's done? Sorry, no condition. If God loves you regardless, you love her regardless. If God loves you regardless, you love Him regardless. I am to love my mate. Not with Hollywood love. Not with TV love. Not with lust love, but the same love that the Heavenly Father gives to me. I am to love my church. For 40 years, I've been your preacher. You have not had the greatest pulpiteer in America, or the greatest Bible teacher in America, And I say this tonight, and I say it predicting it truthfulness. I'm 99% sure that the most loved people from the pulpits of America have been sitting in this room for 40 years. I'm to love my church. I'm to love my neighbor. The Good Samaritan story says so. That means I'm to love the poor. I'm to love the fallen. I'm to love the homeless. I'm to love the halt. I'm to love the maimed, the blind, the deaf, the broken, the burdened, the lonely. And you fellows only looking for the doctors and lawyers, you're not right with God. And I hope you get them and they chase you off as most of them will. We have doctors and lawyers here, but they sit beside the rescue mission and are no more welcome than the rescue mission men. We have businessmen here worth millions of dollars in this room tonight. I want all of them to see me after service at my office. But we have businessmen here. They're no more welcome than those street people that sat up there this morning. I am to love the unloved. I am to love the unlovely. Jesus stood in the synagogue, in his home synagogue in Nazareth, and preaching the first sermon of his ministry. He used as his text Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the brokenhearted. I am to take the love that God has given to me. I am to love my mate. I am to love my church. I am to love my neighbor. Not only have I loved you for 40 years, I've loved the poor and the down and outers for 40 years also. I am to love my enemy. Oh, preacher, you crossed the line. No, you're to love your enemy. I'm commanded to. I'm to love those that hate me. I'm to bless those that curse me. And so are you, by the way. I pray this prayer. Dear God, make my enemy the most loved enemies in the whole world. You ask these men on the platform that know me best. You ask this man right here what I do for my enemies. You ask this man right here what I do for my enemies. These are my enemies. And the men who tried to destroy my ministry, I am to love them. And the same God that said he loves me regardless, I am to love them regardless. And it's time some of you folks got right with God tonight by getting right with those that you hate. I am to love my mate. I am to love my church, the saints, the brethren. I am to love my neighbor. I am to love my enemy. I am to love my God with all my heart, mind, body, and soul. Charles Spurgeon prayed, "Dear Jesus, let me love you so much so that I look up and say, Jesus, I love you. You will look down and say, I know it, Charles." Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They're weak, but he is strong. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, and this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even you and me. Hallelujah! God loves you. The Creator of the universe, the Maker of the worlds loves you. The Creator of the beasts that roam the field, the fish that swim the sea, and the birds that fly in the air. The Creator of mankind, the Creator of the gladiola and the oak tree and the giant tree. Giant of the forest, the sequoia tree in the northwest, and the pine tree of Carolina. Hey, the one that made that. Look at the stars tonight. The Creator of the stars. He loves you. I was sinking deep in sin.
but love lifted me.
Love defined, all love excelling. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white. And the bus kids are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. But we, with Hank, the ocean filled, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. So snuggle up tonight in the comfort of His love. Bask in the sunlight of His love. Feast at the table of His love. Partake of the manna of His love. Glutton on the calories of His love. Swim in the ocean of His love. Bathe in the sauna of His love. Hide in the pavilion of His love. Drink of the fountain of His love. Abide neath the shadow of His love. Dwell neath the banner of His love. Be confined in the cell of His love. Keep yourself in the love of God. Not keeping God loving you. He always has, always will, and does love you tonight. But you take that love of God and spread it around the world and tell the bus kids and television men and tell the deaf and tell the sleep people that there's a God in heaven and that God loves them. Hallelujah. He also loves me. Someone asked a famous senator and scientist and inventor on his deathbed, what is the greatest discovery that you've ever made? And this scientist and inventor raised himself up on his arms and for the last time used his voice. This is the greatest discovery, said he, that I, as a scientist and inventor, have ever made. Jesus loves me. This I know. Sing it. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He... Yes, sing it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells. I know that. And you know that. But there are thousands of people within 5 miles of where I stand right now that don't know it. That's what He says. Keep yourself fully supplied with the love of God, so you can become a conduit through which this love that is so marvelous can flow to those who've never heard. Would you bow your heads, please?